Okay, so 2 Kings chapter 5, I'm going to go ahead and read it. Verse 1, the king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to her mistress, "I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy." So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. "Go and visit the prophet," the king of Aram told him. "I will send a letter of introduction for you to take to the king of Israel." So Naaman started out carrying as gifts 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. "The letter to the king of Israel, with this letter I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, "This man sends me a leper. Am I God that I can give life and take away? I can see that he's just trying to pick a fight with me." Verse 8, "But when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent this message to him, 'Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel.' So Naaman went with his horses and his chariots and waited at the door of Elijah's house. But Elijah sent a messenger out to him with this message, 'Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored, and you will be healed of your leprosy.' But Naaman became angry and stalked away. 'I thought he would certainly come out to me,' he said. 'I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and heal me. Aren't the rivers of Damascus, the Abana and the Pharfar, better than any of the rivers in Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed?' So Naaman turned and went away in rage. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, 'Sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he says simply, go and wash and be cured.' So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed him. And his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. Then Naaman and his entire party went back to find the man of God. They stood before him, and Naaman said, 'Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant.' But Elijah replied, 'As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept any gifts.' And though Naaman urged him to take the gift, Elijah refused. Then Naaman said, 'All right, but please allow me to load 2 of my mules with earth from this place, and I will take it back home with me. From now on, I will never again offer burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other god except the Lord. However, may the Lord pardon me with this one thing. When my master the king goes into the temple of the god of Rimmon to worship there and leans on my arm, may the Lord pardon me when I bow too.' And Elisha said, 'Go in peace.' So Naaman started home again." Amen. Me and my daughter usually read from the New Living Translation. It's just a little bit easier to understand. So I want to talk about 3 points today in this chapter or this verses that we've just read. And number one is the need. Number two is the price. And number three is the reward. We see a man named Naaman as we begin to read in this chapter. He was a great man. He was great of stature. He was a mighty man of valor. He had great treasure. He was known as a commander or general. He was strong. He was a great warrior. And when you see this list of accomplishments and status, you might think this man has everything in life, right? It's like we see people on TV or whatever, and we see how much, or we may admire people because they've accomplished so much, and we see that they have money, they have whatever it is, they have stuff, they have a nice house. They have whatever it is that the world would call success. And the Bible says here, but. How many of you guys know there's always a but, right? I was talking to one of my coworkers the other day, and he was telling me how hard things are and how people are mocking God to him and different things. And I said, and how people just aren't happy around him in general. People aren't happy around him. And I said, because there will never be satisfaction in someone's life. It doesn't matter how many things we have. It doesn't matter how many places we've gone. It doesn't matter how many experiences we have. It doesn't matter how many cars we have. Because there's always going to be a but in your life unless you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And that's the truth. Amen? He had a problem. His problem started small. You know, like leprosy starts. It starts small. It just maybe starts with one little spot or one little thing. And then eventually his problem got out of control. Out of control so much that he could not hide it. He was desperate. He was a leper. He had leprosy, right? So what is leprosy? It's a disease that affects the nervous system. Symptoms were loss of feeling, loss in extremities, loss of feeling in the toes, fingers, nose, eyes, skin lesions, scales, open wounds, and there was no known cure. And in Leviticus chapter 14, God begins to make a provision for the leper that when one is found with leprosy, he has to leave the community. He is inspected by the priest, and if he's found with leprosy, he has to leave the community. He has to leave the community of Israel, and he goes to isolate and quarantine themselves, and they go into a community of lepers. And they were considered outcasts. And when anybody would come their way, they'd have to ring a bell and yell, unclean, unclean. And that was the condition that the leper was. And there was only one way that leprosy would end in their life, that this disease would end in their life. They would either get healed or death. But how many of you guys know, in this context of Leviticus 14 and in Israel, none of them were cured. There was no one, there was no record of anybody being cured, but yet God made provision. Why? What does leprosy do? It separates from God and separates us from people. And how many of you guys know the Bible? In the Bible, leprosy represents sin, right? So the first thing was, he heard that there was a way out of this condition. How many of you guys know, thank God there's a way out of the condition? Amen? He heard there was a way to healing. And I think this was an indicator of how desperate he actually was, right? He heard from a slave girl that was captured his army would go out and raid, and they would take spoils back, and one of them was a slave girl, and the slave girl was a slave and a servant to his wife. And it just goes to show you the desperation of Naaman, that not only was he looking for a way out, he was looking for a cure, but he was willing to listen to anybody, even the least of the least. Amen? Just as Pastor Al spoke about Gideon last week, he says, the Lord comes in and says, mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you. And he says, the Lord is with me. He says, my tribe is the weakest of the tribes, and my family is the weakest of that tribe, and out of my family, I'm the weakest of the family. So it's like, it shows you who God will use. God will use the least of the least of the least to tell someone that there's hope, to tell someone that there's a cure. Amen? And when we read this, we read one of the greatest miracles, about one of the greatest miracles in the Old Testament. And it was all brought about by a slave girl. And not only that, who was willing to share about God, what God could do. And not only that, but she was the enemy of the person that she was giving this word to. And I think to myself, I said, man, that's deep. Because how much more if this girl can share the message of God and could share the word of God and could share the hope of God's healing, how much more could I do it, right? How much more could we do it? I'll just leave that there. So there's a need. We see Naaman had such a great need, and there was nothing he can do about it. And he was searching and searching and searching until one day he found hope. Amen? And he went to the prophet of God to heal him in verses 9 through 14. And we see that when Naaman came, he came with a prideful attitude. Someone once said, pride is like bad breath. Everyone knows you have it except you, right? I don't know. I'm sorry. Right? Forgive me. Forgive me on YouTube, right? But we see he wanted to get things done. He thought there was such a great need, but when he came to the man of God, he came in his own way. He wanted things done his way. Why? Because he was a man of great stature. He was a man of success. And he was used to giving orders. But God doesn't take orders from any man, right? And he wanted it done his way. But if he could have done it his way, if we could have done it our way, we wouldn't be in this position in the first place, right? So what did he do? What did he have to do? He had to humble himself. The prophet told him, I want you to go into the river, and I want you to dip seven times, and then you'll be healed of your leprosy. And the Bible says that he was enraged. He didn't even come out to talk to me. I thought he was just going to wave his hand over me, and everything was going to be okay. But that's not the way God does things. The Bible says his ways are higher than our ways, right? His ways are higher than our ways. He knows what's best for us. You know, I don't even know if you say this. Pastor Al, why did you pray that for me today? When I first came here, I thought, what am I supposed to do here? When I came to this church, I thought, what am I supposed to do here? Right? Because I came here and I came from another place. I thought, what am I supposed to do? And as I was praying, I prayed, and the Lord, I believe the Lord was showing me, he said, just trust me in this process. Just trust me in what I'm doing. And believe that even when you don't know what's best for yourself, God knows. Amen? And as we trust him through that process. And he said, go into the Jordan, this muddy river, and dip yourself seven times. And as we learned here, and as we know, Jordan is a typology for death. How many of you guys know that when we come to God, we have to die to ourselves? Paul said, I die daily, right? He had to be obedient to the prophet. And before getting into the river, there's something else he had to do. He had to strip himself of this royal robe or his armor. Before God and before everyone, he had to strip himself of everything that he had going for him. That whatever it is, the general or the captain's uniform, he had to take it off. And I think that was the reason why he was so angry that he had to do it. Because how many of you guys know that it's hard to go before people, or it's hard to come before the Lord open and desperate? Hebrews 4:13 says, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him who we must all give an account. Can you imagine? I was putting myself in that place, and I was thinking, could you imagine that his men that respected him, the people that respected him, the people that admired him or looked up to him, and maybe even his wife, he had to take all of this off, that they would see how rotted and decayed his flesh was, that they would see how in a bad shape he really was. He couldn't hide it anymore. And as he took all of these things off and disrobed himself and got into the Jordan River, I'm sure it was humiliating, but that's what it took for him to humble himself. And thank God for people around him, right? They said, this isn't that hard. But they didn't understand the condition. I understand sometimes it's hard to be honest with yourself. It's hard to be honest with God, because sometimes in the process of healing, it hurts. Amen? But he was desperate, just like we were desperate. Anybody ever feel that way? Like, I can't live this way anymore. I need to change. Many people think that the healing was because of the water. But the healing wasn't in the water. Healing wasn't because of the water. Right? The water was just a something of use. Because many people have gone into that water before, and many people went into that water after, and none of them were healed. But the only one that was healed was the one who was willing to submit and humble himself and do things God's way. And that's what it was that brought his healing. It was humility and obedience that led to the healing of Naaman. It was willingness to change his heart and mind, and that's the cost that Naaman himself had to pay. Now let's look at this dual application here. I mean, you know, everything that God writes is for a purpose. God doesn't waste anything. And if God felt the need to put this in the scriptures, there must be some meaning for us, right? Now let's look at the dual application of this word, meaning it speaks to us. How does it speak to us? And what does it say about us, right? If we put ourselves in Naaman's shoes, the problem was leprosy. But as we already said, leprosy is a typology or a representative of sin, right? And because of leprosy, he was condemned to death because there was no cure. And like Naaman, by our own sin, we ourselves are condemned to death, right? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And just like Naaman, we try to hide the smallness of our sin, and we think, oh, it's not a big deal. It's going to be okay. God's going to forgive me anyways. And yes, brothers and sisters, maybe that's true. But that's not the place we want to go. Right? That's not the place we want to go, because eventually something may start small, but eventually it will completely take over and destroy your lives. I don't know how many times we've seen it. Right? And we're looking for an answer. And like the Apostle Paul said in Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? But thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why? Because we cannot save ourselves. And it gets worse and worse until we can't take it anymore. And then we reach our end. Do you guys remember your end? I remember my end, right? Then we reach her and then we hear, or somehow someone gets our attention that this is the answer, that Jesus Christ is the answer. Someone somehow gets our attention, the Holy Spirit moves in our lives, and we receive that word of God. And we humble ourselves. And we change our attitudes. And we come to God in humility and submission, and we surrender to God. We surrender and change our attitudes, right? And we see this progression in Naaman's life. We see that he came on the chariot. We see that he came with a prideful attitude. We see that he came with anger. And then we see he gets healed and he has an encounter with God. And then his attitude completely changes. Because he knew that God was real. He knew what God had done in his life. He knew that nobody could heal me except God. Nobody could change me except God. And his attitude began to change. The progression began to change. And he came back to the prophet. He came to return to the prophet. And he said, now I know that there's no other God in Israel. He said, and I come before you as a servant. He says, so please accept my gift in verse 15. And just like Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:12, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep me what I have committed to him until that day. We know whom we have believed. We know that there's no other way except the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that there's only one true word, and that's the word of God. Amen? And some people won't be convinced. Some people, I've had people tell me in the past, how do you know God is real? How can you prove it to me that God is real? I said, I can't prove anything to you except this. Once I was blind, and now I can see. Once I was dead, and now I'm alive. And it was nothing that I did in the process, but it's only the goodness of God that led me to this place. And if you can believe what you want, you can say what you want, and I can't prove to you anything because you won't believe it anyways. But one thing I can say is, if you want to see the evidence, look no further than my life. Because once we were dead, and now we're alive. Once we were lost, and now we're found. And if you don't see the progression in my life of what I'm telling you, then don't believe me either. But we know that God is real, and we know that it's true. Right? Just like Jesus said, if you don't believe me, he told the religious people, said, if you don't believe me, at least believe the work that you see. Right? And it's true. And it's real. And we're so grateful because of our incurable condition that we've been healed of. And like Naaman, most of us, when we came to the relationship with God and we knew that God was real, we were willing to give whatever it took. Gold, silver, whatever it is, God, it's yours. And even after he was healed, this is how I know that there was a true conversion there. This is how we can tell there's a true conversion, right? Even after he was healed, he said, let me get some land from this place and let me take it back home. How many of you guys know it wasn't just a one-time thing for him? It wasn't just, okay, I got healed. Now let me just move across and let me move on my way and I'll see you later, God. Like we've seen that before. He made preparation for continued worship in his life. He continued to say, he said, I'm going to take this dirt, and when I go worship, I'm not going to worship any. This is my God. This is who I believe in. And he made condition to worship, to continuous worship. It wasn't just thanks God for my blessing, thanks God for my healing, I'll see you later, and never come back. In other words, he didn't just get what he needed and say, okay, I'll see you later. And in spite of all that, those people, the people that do that, God is still waiting for them to return back. Just like the prodigal son, the Bible says that the father was waiting and watching for the son to return home. That he was waiting and he was watching for his son to return home. And his son, he saw his son from a distance and he ran to his son and he hugged his son and he kissed his son. And he says, what are we having a party for? He says, once my son was lost and now he's found. Amen. Romans 5:8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, the marks of true conversion is not what you get from God, but how we serve God once we come to know him. I remember this. I remember one time, years ago, I wasn't even converted then. I wasn't even saved then. I remember some people came, and my grandfather, he was on his deathbed, and I remember they prayed for him, and he said, he got saved. He committed his life to the Lord, and then he died. And I thought to myself, I think back to that time. I think, I'm so grateful for what God has done in my life. I'm so grateful for what God has done in those around me. I'm so grateful for everything God has put in my path. And there's nothing I can do to repay God. There's nothing I could do to ever satisfy everything that I've ever done. But He is so worthy. He is so good. He's been so good to me in my life. And the attitude that I have, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me. Galatians 2:20. And finally, the reward. The healing of leprosy was a great miracle, but this was not the greatest miracle in the story. The greatest miracle was that Naaman had an encounter with God. Jesus said in Luke 10:20, Do not in this that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You see, the greatest miracle that you and I will ever see is the salvation of a person that was lost and now they're found. Luke 4:27, Jesus said this. This is my only PowerPoint, my second PowerPoint. Anyways, if you have your Bible, you should go there. Luke 4:27. Jesus said this. He said, there were many lepers. There are many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elijah the prophet, yet none of them were cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. And I read these words, and I ask myself this, how many had leprosy, and why was Naaman the only one healed? You see, Jesus is speaking to Israel's past, and if leprosy is a representative of sin, a spiritual representative of sin, spiritually they all had leprosy. Just like spiritually, we all have leprosy. Because we're all in this condition of sin. We're all in the condition of uncleanliness. We're all in this condition of death. What Jesus is saying is everyone had it. But Romans 6:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's not one righteous, no, not one. So spiritually speaking, all had leprosy. And the only reason Naaman was healed, because he was willing to humble himself and be obedient to God. He was able to humble himself and by faith obey the word of God. Let's stand. I wanted to leave a little time to pray today. I know this is a little short, but I just wanted to leave some time today. We've been feeling that, you know, I've been hearing that God's really ready to do something in this place. And I really believe that it begins here. It begins with this foundation. It begins with this truth that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You might think, well, that's not me. I'm already saved. But we all need to get back to that place. The instruction for the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 was, come back to me. Come back to your first love. The instruction was, remember the things that I've done for you in the past. Remember the things that you did when you first came to know me. And do those things again. That was the word of the Lord. Father, we're so desperate for you. Lord, we need you. We can't survive another minute without you. Lord, let your love shower us today. Let your healing power, Lord, come down. Lord, it's not about me. It's not about anybody, Lord. It's all about you today, God. Lord, we need you. Just as Israel said in the wilderness, Lord, if you don't go before us, we don't want to go. I'm not going to call anybody up. I don't even know the protocol anymore. What I'm going to ask you to do is, at your seat, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And I want you to reflect what God's done for you in the past. I want you to go back to that sweet place. The place when you were like Naaman, or the place when you had no hope, but God. But God showed up. And if you don't know the Lord like this, if you say, you know, I've heard about the Lord all this time, and I never truly understood why I needed it, why I needed Him, I want to invite you today to just do as Naaman did and humble yourself. And just as Peter said in Acts 3, repent and believe so that the times of refreshing would come. This is where it begins. This is where revival begins. It begins with humility. It begins when we're willing to say, Lord, no longer it's about me, Lord. But Lord, it's all about you. Friends of the Lord is here today. And He's dealing with our hearts. Holy Spirit, minister to us today. Holy Spirit, help us when we get so busy. Lord, help us to put you first, back where you belong. We humble ourselves today. We love you, Lord. We stand here before you, Lord, open, naked. We say, Lord, come. We can't hide anything from you, Lord. You know everything. I just wanted to tell you today, don't hide anything. Don't think there's anything that we can hide from God. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of restoration. And the Lord would say to each and every one of us, come back to me. Come back to me. Father, I ask you just to bless your people. Father, I ask you to touch our hearts today. Lord, we want you more and more. Help us to embrace you, Lord, just as you embrace us. Our desire, Lord, today is to get closer to you, God. Have your way, Lord. If you do want to get your life right with God, if you do want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you say, yes, that's me, I invite you to come up and speak with one of the ministers, speak to me, speak to Pastor Mike, Pastor Al, Pastor Dahlia. And we can help you to understand what it means. But in reality, the change starts with you. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory and honor today. Thank you for your word. Your word is truth, Lord. Sanctify us with your truth. Jesus.